Eric Whitaker is an American composer and conductor who has just taken the world by storm with his unusual approach to music and to choral singing. We speak with him today about his newest endeavor and his newest album, Light and Gold. Welcome, Eric Whitaker, to Crossover.
Thank you.
And the show is a show where we deal with music, music, music. It doesn't matter if it's jazz or classical or whatever, because it all comes from the same place. But you are starting from a very different place, I think. I must speak about your wonderful, wonderful cloudburst. Just so incredible. I mean, what gave you that inspiration? You have the choir singing and then they're, what are they, clapping their hands or snapping their fingers?
Snapping their fingers and clapping their hands. And the inspiration came really from, it's a children's game that you use with kindergartners.
Really?
To get them quiet. I knew it from when I was a kid and you have part of the class snap their fingers and part of the class rub their hands together to make the wind. And you can sort of conduct a little rainstorm with them.
It's an amazing, amazing sound. It's indescribable, actually. I mean, you can't even hear that it's not the rain. You know?
It's extraordinary, isn't it?
It's extraordinary. And combined with the voice, you know, the wonderful choir, the chorus, it's really astounding, I have to say. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that comes along the pike, but this is just stops you in your tracks. So, of course, when I heard that you were going to be doing another album and you have started this incredible virtual choir, I said, we've got to speak to Eric Whitaker because he is full of ideas and new approaches. Tell our audience a little bit about this virtual choir.
Well, it was crazy. I didn't mean for it to be what it's become. I was at home one night and a friend of mine sent me a video and said, you've got to see this. And in the video was a young girl from Long Island who was playing one of my choral pieces, Sleep, in the background, just playing it on the radio.
Yes.
And she was singing the soprano part to it. And she videotaped the entire thing, uploaded it to YouTube, and had put a little message at the beginning, Mr. Whitaker, this is for you. And I saw this, and I just was sort of thunderstruck with this idea. What if I could get 100 other people to do this? Right, in all of these different places, all over the world, have them upload their videos, and then we could cut them together and make this virtual choir. So I made a conducting track of myself conducting through this piece, Lux Arumque, another piece that I'd written, which means light and gold.
Light and gold, yes.
I posted that to YouTube, and then I said to everyone, okay, download the sheet music, pick your part, soprano, alto, tenor, or bass, then record yourself singing it, upload your video to YouTube, and we'll cut it together. And we did, and it worked beautifully.
How many people did you have, actually, that did that?
So for that one, we had, there were 185 different singers from 12 countries.
Now, the singer, I mean, could they sing? They were really singers, or were they people that just liked to sing, like a lot of choruses are?
There were all levels. There were people who were obviously trained professionals, really, really great singers. And then there were people who, there were even 13 and 14-year-olds, you know, who you could tell were maybe freshmen in their high school chorus. And that's okay, because one of the beautiful things about choral music is that there is kind of a, there's a softening of the edges, if you will. You know, you don't have to be the strongest.
Yes, of course, of course, yes.
Yeah, and so it worked just fine.
Well, I the whole concept of it is so now, you know, I mean, I think I read that you were invited to speak at the UN on virtual leadership in the 21st century. And I think you've actually found the key to global harmony, literally.
Thank you for saying that. I couldn't believe when I was giving this talk to these leaders at the UN and thinking, oh, please, I hope I don't. I should always start a war.
Well, you know, music is a universal language. You know, they always say that, but it really is. You can go to another country, not speak the language, and you can sing in a choir, or you can play a piece of music, and you're there. I mean, people,
yes.
you're together, and it is an amazing discovery, something that we live with for all our lives, and it may be a marvelous answer to what's going on in this terribly divided world, you know.
Maybe I'm just thrilled with the outcome so far, and this next version we're going to try to make even bigger. I'm hoping to have 1,000 singers. And so far already, I just posted it a couple of weeks ago, and we've got 100 singers lined up. They still have till December 31st to post their videos. So I think we'll make it. And I'm hoping to ideally get 40 or 50 countries.
Well, that would be a spectacular thing. I mean, you should have a happening, you know.
Yes.
Everyone has to put their computers on. And even if you don't have a computer, you've got to find one. I mean, it's really unbelievable. Of course, you are a very creative mind. I mean, your whole approach is well, I mean, you're a musician, and of course, you're an educated musician. And in spite of that, I might say, you really come up with this brilliant, brilliant idea. And I think you showed signs of it in your very first, that Polyphony album was really marvelous.
Thank you.
And, but this is like, it's not even a gimmick. I mean, one might say it's kind of a publicity stunt, but I don't think it is. It really makes sense.
Yeah, no, not at all a publicity stunt. I simply, I don't know, I don't think I realized it consciously when I was doing it, but after seeing the video for the first time, I realized that first that the people everywhere just have this fundamental need to connect.
Mm-hmm.
And that they will use any means necessary. You know, it reminds me of someone stranded on a desert island with a message in a bottle.
Yes.
That we will, whatever technology we have at our disposal, we will use to connect with other people. And then watching it, I realized too about myself, I do too. I'm making these things so that I can connect with all of these people. So for me, it's not at all a publicity stunt.
Well, no, but I think it's so unique. You know, I mean, it's really, YouTube, of course, is a phenomenon. But I think when you really do something of such value, you know, and of integrity, I mean, it takes on a whole, it's an overwhelming concept. It's not the Big Brother, but it's kind of the whole world getting together with your music.
Yes.
And singing together in harmony. I mean, that's what we use those words all the time, you know, in the sense of how do we get understanding, universal understanding. But this is it. I mean, this is when you go to countries that don't speak the same language, what do you do about that?
You mean with the virtual choir?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. So that, YouTube has this incredible service where if you just turn on a button, you put on in English subtitles for everything you're speaking. For instance, all of my instructions, and then it plays back in almost
Arabic.
Any country on earth and translates
yeah.
for them.
So it's like a spell check, in a way. So in other words, it automatically translates it into. But that won't work in your in your melodic line, will it? You know, if the words are different, or is this
no,
all
no? I mean, and they have to sing in English. But,
I see.
You know, but it's not that difficult, really, because as singers in America, for instance, as you know, are trained to sing in all kinds of languages that they don't actually speak.
Of course.
Yeah, right. At the end of the day, it's just vowels and consonants.
So, but everything is in the English.
Yeah, that's, well, the first piece, Lux Arumque.
It's Latin, of course.
In Latin, of course. And so this one is in English, Sleep Will Be. And then for the third version of this, if this one goes as well as I'm hoping, then the third version, I'll write something original. That will be premiered in cyberspace by this virtual choir.
Oh my heavens! Well, I mean, you are breaking ground, literally. It's amazing. It's just
Thank
amazing.
You.
I mean, how do you feel? Do you feel kind of like the ruler of the world at one point?
No. If I feel like somehow, if whatever circumstances happened to put me. In sort of the conductor's position, literally the conductor's position, that I'm now in this place where there are enough fans and enough people who know about it and know about my music that I'm able to then direct it in a certain way, and so for that it's kind of thrilling. The hardest part for me is that there's only 24 hours in a day, because I'd love to try 20 different social experiments like this, all based around music.
Well, that's exactly what it is. It's a brilliant social experiment. Now, you are initially what, a composer, is that right, or a choral director? Initially,
composer first, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I came to it kind of late. I didn't know anything about classical music really until I was 18, and started singing in a choir.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 21, I wrote my first piece. So I guess I think of myself first and foremost as a composer.
But you wrote your first piece. You knew music. I mean, that's what you.
Yeah, I knew it by ear, which in a way is, I still love to rely on my ear as a composer.
Mm-hmm.
Even after all the training, ultimately to me, if it either sounds good or it doesn't, and if it doesn't, then it gets thrown in a trash bin and we try it again.
Mm-hmm. But it's choral music.
Yeah, mostly choral music. Although I have written some things for symphonic winds, and I'm just now this week actually premiering a piece for chorus and orchestra that I've written. So other kinds of music as well.
So now I also read that you were going to do a stage musical that you're planning on, Paradise
That's
Lost.
That's right. Yes, Paradise Lost. And it's been written, and we've had a bunch of different concert performances. We did a really nice concert performance in Carnegie Hall in June, and that went beautifully. And we'll do it again in Chicago and in Los Angeles, these concert versions of it, in the spring.
Now, when you do that, who are the participants? Are they people that are local?
Well,
or is it a tour?
Yeah, it's the craziest part about it, because we'll generally just do one or two concerts in that city. And for instance, when we did it in Carnegie in June, we had our leads, all of the soloists, they came from all over the country. They were auditioned, mm-hmm. but then the chorus was made of over 400 people,
oh, really?
All people who traveled from all over the country and in Europe, just to come to be part of the performance.
Did you audition people for the chorus, or was it one of those?
Yeah, they had to send in an audition tape,
uh-huh.
and sort of meet a certain high standard. I never thought about it, but it's a little bit like the virtual choir, just on mm-hmm. stage.
Well, I mean, it's you're talking about massive numbers, really. It's
yes.
kind of incredible. Are you going to come to Philadelphia at any time?
I would love to. And there's such great music happening there, of course.
And we have a wonderful hall. I mean, it certainly can accommodate thousands, so.
I know.
Yeah. But I have to say that, I'm an instrumentalist, so that's a whole different ballgame. But I was so taken with, of course, your approach and the purity of it. There's something very celestial about what you're doing. It really is.
It's
clean, and it's open, and it's pure. That's really what it's, I guess, the whole concept of it is, but also the music is, again. So, now this album that you're going to be releasing, how does this fit into everything?
So it's my new choir, the Eric Whitaker Singers. With all humility, I named it. I was told that it would make it easier for people to remember.
That kind of conjures up, I don't know, visions of the 1950s.
with
the Ray Conniff Singers or something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I have to say, like, some of those choirs, they were legends,
good.
You know? Yeah, and I was sort of my heroes, so.
Aha, now I see. That's where it's coming from.
Yeah, exactly. And the Dale Warland Singers, right?
Yes. Oh, well, they are phenomenal. They are
phenomenal.
Absolutely
yes.
Breathtaking. And again, I mean, we're discovering things, that you are bringing to light. I say that as a person who is not really terribly involved with, we know, of course, the classical works and the wonderful masses and requiems and so on and so forth. But this is on another level. And yet it fits in to the classical repertoire, certainly. That's pretty much what it is.
Thank you. It's that's odd for me, because I didn't start as a classical musician, and so every day I sort of pinch myself and say, really? Are people, am I a classical composer now? Is that,
what were you doing when you first started in terms of music?
I thought I would be a rock star.
You are.
I was playing synthesizers and drum machines and using a lot of hairspray. So I thought that, that's the direction it would all go. And it really, it was, had I not been asked to come sing in that choir, I'm not sure where I would be today.
Well, so, I mean, in a sense, though, you've made inroads in a classical, format that would be more comfortable for a rock concert, in a sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you're using huge, you know, volumes of personnel, and you're spanning the universe, and it's really, I would say, overwhelming. You know, I mean, some days, I guess you kind of stand up and say, is this me? I guess. And this happened. So in any case, though, as an album, how does that, that's a whole different world than a disc.
Yes, it was. So this new CD, Light and Gold. So it's with my newly formed choir. This is the Eric Whitaker Singers. Mm-hmm. And it's for me the first chance I've ever had to record my music ideally sounding exactly the way that I imagined it sounding. There's been some beautiful recordings before, like you were mentioning the Cloudburst recording by Polyphony, which is just gorgeous.
Fantastic.
But this was a chance for me to sort of interpret my music in a very, very personal way. And there's also three or four world premiere recordings on there. So some stuff that's never been heard before as well.
Well, the Light and Gold then is the general album name, but the works on it are?
Lux Arumque, of course, which means Light and Gold. Mm-hmm. That's the title track. And Nox Arumque, which is Night and Gold, its companion piece.
Okay.
There's a piece on there called The Stolen Child that I wrote for the King Singers, and they appear on the album as well.
They are. I did interview them. This incarnation of them, they are phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, just something else. There's these five Hebrew love songs for string quartet and chorus that the poetry was written by my wife, who is Israeli.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah, and she actually wrote it when we were dating while students at Juilliard.
Oh, my. That's very, very sweet.
And there's a piece on there called Water Night, one of my earlier works, but one of my more popular works. Sleep is on there. The Seal Lullaby is on there, which is just this, I guess, just a sweet little bonbon of a piece that I wrote. And now I sing to my five-year-old son, trying to get him to go to sleep every night.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, so you have instruments, though, involved in the recording as well?
Some, yes. There's a few pieces with instruments. I'd say most of the album, though, is a cappella.
Okay. So this is a new release, and then is there anything else that's down the pike as far as albums are concerned?
As far as the albums are concerned, we're already planning the next one. I have another, at least, disc of choral music to do, so we'll probably record next April again here in London.
Now, those are all original compositions again?
Yes, yes.
And what about some kind of established repertoire?
I'm starting to do that now. I'm conducting this concert with the London Symphony Orchestra and Chorus this Sunday. And along with some of my other pieces, I'll be conducting some Barber and some Copland and Morten Lauritsen.
Oh, that is just
all American.
One after another. Morten Lauritsen is just out of this world.
Oh, he's
absolutely. And Britain, of course. I mean, you're in the right place there. For choral music, certainly, in terms of...
Very much so.
Yeah. Oh, it's just been a delight, Eric. I hope that we can speak again. I hope that we'll have the opportunity to see you here in Philadelphia.
I do, too, and I hope that you and I can meet in person. I'd love that.
I just would love... Not on YouTube, though.
No, not on YouTube. Maybe what I'll do is, you know, for the next virtual choir, I'll write a harp part.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Yes. Why not? Well, that actually goes with your a cappella. It would be very beautiful there. But in any case, though, thank you so much for giving us your time today, and good luck.
Oh, no, it's my honor. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.